We extend to you a warm-hearted welcome from the Radio and Internet Ministry of Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Who is a ruler of your life? Who really controls you? That's a pretty dangerous question. Many of us do not always like to ask it. At least we don't like to answer it. But we're going to talk about it today in the sermon. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God in heaven, give us the courage and the strength to answer this question. Who really is controlling my life? We believe, Heavenly Father, as we search our souls, that that ruler can change from hour to hour. But we pray today that as we celebrate Christ the King Sunday, we may realize that what Christ is after in this particular day is that he might find individuals who by his grace not only receive him as Savior and Lord, but also claim him as their king. Speak to us then through that word. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. The Word of God as it is recorded in the 18th chapter of the Gospel of St. John. Here Jesus is standing before Pilate. The Jewish people had brought him there, claiming that Jesus was supposedly the king. They didn't think he was, but it was a place where Jesus and Pilate could have a conversation that would lead to the crucifixion. Hear these words then, beginning with verse 33. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you really the king of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked. "Or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "It was your people and your chief priest who handed you over to me. What is it that you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." "Are you a king then?" Pilate asked. Jesus answered him, "You are right in saying, 'I am a king.' In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Friends in Christ, during his years here on this earth, Jesus wore many titles. One of his peers came to him at night. His name was Nicodemus. Addressing him, he said, "Rabbi." That was one of the titles that Jesus wore. Rabbi meaning teacher. Nicodemus went on to say, "You are a master teacher." He was giving him a real compliment. He was honored to stand in the presence of Jesus, whom he had heard talk often, evidently. This was a title. If you follow the conversation of the disciples with Jesus, you'll real often hear them refer to him as master. In other words, Jesus was serving, as far as they were concerned, in a place of authority. And when he had something to say to them, they listened, and they listened very carefully. He was not just one of the group. He was the master. Then there are other titles that are given to Jesus, which are, in my opinion, much stronger than these. For example, there was Peter one day at Caesarea Philippi, who when Jesus said, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter replied by saying these words, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now, when he said, "You are the Christ," he was saying, "You are the Anointed One. You are the Messiah. You're the one that we have been waiting for. You are the Savior of the people." You see, that is a much stronger title than simply saying you're a great teacher. there are those today who would be very content in calling Jesus a great teacher. But when you get to the place of saying what Peter said, you are the Christ, you're my Savior, you're my Lord, and that word comes from the heart, then you're not just a moralist who is willing to go along with the ethical teachings of Jesus, but you are one who have given your life to him, and you are a Christian. Today, our Lord is talking about himself as being a king. That's wrong. Not a king. He refers to himself as the king. He was not really the one who brought up the subject, but the Jews were trying to find some way to get him to Pilate in order that he could be sentenced to die. And so they came into the presence of that governor, and they said that here is this Jesus of Nazareth. He claims to have a kingdom, and supposedly he is the king. Well, Pilate got him alone, and he said to him, "Are you a king?" And Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world." And then Pilate comes back and he says, "Then you are a king." And in verse 37 of our text today, Jesus utters these words, "Yes, I am a king. My kingdom is not of this world. But yes, I am a king." And so Pilate scoffs at that a little bit, and I'm sure that evening at dinner when he was conversing with his wife, he probably said, "I really met a first-class jerk today. He claimed to be a king of a kingdom that he's building." They did not understand it then, and until we have stood in the presence of our Lord Jesus, we probably don't understand it now, what it is that Jesus is the king. There has never in our day, there has never in days gone by, a nation that has acknowledged that Jesus was the king in the sense that he ruled that nation. If there are, I certainly have not read about it. There would be, without a doubt, millions of people in a lot of kingdoms that would say, "Jesus is my supreme king." But that nation of which they were a part did not claim that Jesus was the one who was supposedly ruling them. Oh, superficially, we would say, yes, this is a Christian nation, and Western civilization has more or less gone along that line, that if you were to characterize them religiously, they are Christian. They have built their churches. Their people have written some tremendous music adoring Christ, some of which we have sung today here on this program. But this is not the kingdom that Jesus makes reference to in the scriptures. He says, "My kingdom is not a kingdom of this world." He's not expecting that they're going to have some particular country that will just all of a sudden be synonymous with the kingdom of God. No, it's not here. The human being is here. The human being is a sinner, and consequently, there cannot be a real Christian kingdom as Jesus one day will bring it into fruition. In other words, even in the United States of America, we have often referred to ourselves, at least in the past, until these last lot of years, as a Christian nation. Sorry to say, we can't really do that anymore today. We're not that. They've taken that away from us. The courts and all the rest have taken it away from us. But we still, religiously speaking, have a lot of Christian churches, and within these churches, there are a tremendous number of people who love the Lord Jesus, and they are a part of this kingdom of which Jesus is speaking today in our text. So, what is this kingdom? It is a kingdom that is made up of individuals, and every one of those individuals are committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, friend, what Jesus is doing today in this text and what he is trying to do in this sermon is to show us that he's anxious to be in our lives as individuals. He wants to rule our lives. He wants to be our king. He wants to be our Lord as well as our Savior. Now, what does that mean? He wants to be the ruler when it comes to the matter of setting our values. He wants to be the king when it comes to the matter of controlling our behavior. My behavior is not controlled by the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments reveals how God wants me to live. But the motivating force, the power behind all of this, is the king. And the king is Jesus. And Jesus says, because I am your king and because I rule in your life, this is the way that you live. And obediently, the person bows to him. It is in this kingdom that you and I receive a security. Now, I am so thankful to God that I am a part of the United States of America. Oh, I know that there are so many things in my country that are not the way that God would have them to be. But here in this land of ours, those of us who have the privilege of being Americans have a freedom that is not known in all parts of the world. Here we have a security. Here we have a place where we can grow and let the talents that God has given to us develop, and we can use them. I'm thankful to God that during that part of my existence, it could be here in the United States. I know of no other place that I would rather be. On the other hand, having said all of this, I know that there is an insecurity here. Certainly we know that people's lives are continually, including our own, warped when it comes to the matter of values. I can't help but stop and think about it when I see all of this voting that goes on in the state of which I'm a part and which I truly love too, thinking that really the thing that's going to make our state great and free us up from all kinds of excess tax that we have to pay is a casino. Where in the world is there any value to that thing? So we see that even though we are blessed to be citizens of the United States, we've got some warped values. Our behavior is not very well controlled, at least by the way that God wants us to live. When we see all that goes on and the breaking of homes and the raising of children or not the raising of children, the profanity and the drunkenness and the immorality and the greed and the cheating, dishonesty, and all the rest that is here. So while I love this country of which I'm a part, and it's one of the two kingdoms to which I belong, I am thankful that I can look beyond this kingdom on the left that Martin Luther called it, and I can look to the kingdom of the right, for there is a kingdom that will live on forever. And here is the kingdom that will always set before me what is truly right and wrong. And here is the kingdom that will say, I can give you security. You can know, you can trust me, I'll be with you, I'll give you strength, no matter what happens in every stretch of the road. Now we are citizens then of these two kingdoms, and we love them both. But pray to God that we love the kingdom of our Heavenly Father even more. That's a dangerous statement to make, some would say. That could be something that could undermine our great country. No. That statement would only make us a more concerned citizen of our country. This kingdom that we belong to, be it the kingdom of our political ventures, or it be our spiritual kingdom, we are rebels in both of them. There are so many things that our country does that we really don't like, and we're going to show it. There are also many times during the day that those of us who by grace through faith in Christ Jesus belong to the kingdom of God, we're rebels there too. When we say that we are citizens of the kingdom of God, that doesn't mean we're perfect people. We rebel every day. God, I don't want this. I know you're my king, but I don't want it this way. And I perhaps will rebel. But the point is, there is a Spirit of God that calls us back and says, you know what you did was wrong. And there is repentance, and there is coming to the throne of grace again and asking God to forgive me. That's why every day we should ask ourselves the question, who rules my life? And we pray then, because we are Christian, that we say, Jesus Christ does. I sometimes rebel against it all, but Jesus Christ is still the ruler of my life. So that's where it is to date on this particular Sunday in November. He is saying, I am building the kingdom. But the day is going to come, according to his word, that all the earthly kingdoms will fall. Paul puts it this way, the day is going to come when every knee is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Can you imagine it, friend? Every kingdom that has ever been in existence as far as this world is concerned will have come to its end. Jesus, writing in the 25th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all of the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory, and all the nations will be gathered there before him. And the Bible says that Jesus at that time is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Do we believe this? Did Adolf Hitler believe this? Evidently he didn't. You know, he said to Martin Niemöller, that great man of God, Niemöller, I want you to know that the destiny of the German people is in the hands of Adolf Hitler. And Niemöller was empowered by the Holy Spirit to say, Chancellor Hitler, I just want you to know that the destiny of the German people is in the hands ultimately of Almighty God. And with that, this brave man was arrested and incarcerated for the rest of the day. Hitler didn't believe it. Stalin didn't believe it. And now we have to really ask ourselves the question, do we think that our country too could one day come to an end? And as you listen today, you get the impression that there are many who say no. With our wealth and with our might, with our power and our knowledge, all is well. Friend, it is in that setting where Jesus is out only after the individual that he is asking the question, may I be the king of your life? First, I want to be your savior. and take away all of your sin and make you mine forever and ever. And then I want to begin to rule in your life. And I will give you a great life. I will not take away anything but that which would make it less than what I want it to be. So on this Christ the King Sunday, is Jesus the King of your life? Amen. Lord Jesus, as we have celebrated this Thanksgiving, we thank you for our country. We ask that you will grant us the forgiveness of our sin. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we may know what it is to be on our knees, asking for strength. And we pray that many of those who are our leaders may know what it is to be the citizens of two kingdoms, of our country and also of the kingdom of God. Bless our president, all those who are in authority over us. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of Christian Crusaders. We thank our faithful listeners for your generous support. Your gifts allow us to bring the greatest news that ever was, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to listeners throughout the country and worldwide. As a nonprofit ministry, we are supported by gifts from our listeners. We're especially grateful for our gift every month, GEM Club members. These regular gifts sustain our ministry during quiet giving times. Our contributors are truly special in this important ministry. This week, we have a special gift for listeners of KIXI Radio in Seattle. If you listen in the Seattle area, please call our toll-free number 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484 to request your free gift. We will need your name and address to mail your gift. Cassette tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free number is 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders invite you to find out more about our ministry on the internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's christiancrusaders, all one word, .org. Hundreds of Pastor Larson's sermons are available to be read or printed. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and Radio Pastor of Christian Crusaders for the last 41 years.